Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 12. My last Christmas-themed message of the year. Hallelujah. How do you get a Christmas message out of John 12? I can do it. Who said that? Okay. Verse 23. John 12 and verse 23. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Now, a few weeks ago, I read about a man called James Baxter. And James Baxter owns a company that makes something that we all use every Christmas and then we destroy. Can anybody think what it might be? Christmas cards, good answer, but not the one I'm looking for. Christmas crackers, good answer, but not the one I'm looking for. Tinsel, good answer, but no, we sometimes store that one, don't we, till the next year. Who said paper? Wrapping paper. That's the one that I'm looking for. Wrapping paper makes the present, doesn't it? It really does. You wrap it all so neatly and so nicely in the nicest coloured. I bought some special green metallic wrapping paper for my wife's present this year. Does that give me extra brownie points? Yes. And I took great care in wrapping two presents, not just one, two presents. With the sellotape and folding the corners and making it all look like a shiny, beautiful package, fit for a wife of 31 years tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. So, I put them under the tree with loving care and wrote on them to my dear wife. And they look very nice, even though I say so myself. And on Christmas morning, I took them out from under the tree and I gave them to her. And what did she do? She ripped it apart and destroyed the wrapping paper. And we have a blue bin now outside our house that is full of discarded wrapping paper. Because the wrapping is only there to make the present look nice, isn't it? The wrapping is not really part of the purpose of the present. It's the preliminaries. It's there before. So this man, James Baxter, who owns this company that makes Christmas wrapping paper, he's very happy that every year people buy his product and then destroy it. Because that's what it was there. That's what it was designed to do. To look good, to look nice, but to be torn apart and to be ripped. So where does that lead us then? In the scripture. Well, if you think about wrapping paper, it gives us an interesting perspective on these scriptures in John's Gospel. Because God sent his only Son into the world. We celebrate it every Christmas. The Advent, the coming of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And every Christmas we put our mangers out and we put our lights up and we do some of the things that have been talked about here this morning. We give the Christmas cards, we bring out the tinsel, we put up the lights, we make everything look so nice and so perfect. As nice as we can possibly make it, we make it for Christmas, don't we? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as we keep in mind and in thought the fact that we are celebrating the coming of God's Son. Amen. That's what it's about. And we do those things in honor of his appearing. We set out our manger here at church a few weeks ago in honor of his appearing. And when you look at it and you see it, it looks beautiful, it looks nice. And I'm sure that Jesus was a beautiful baby. I have no reason to think otherwise. I believe he would have been a beautiful baby in that picture that we put up on last Sunday when I did my Christmas message last Sunday. We put that picture up of Rembrandt, that Rembrandt had painted of the adoration of the shepherds. And you see there the light coming from the manger. Now that's the artist's interpretation of what happened that morning. But I'm sure that Jesus was beautiful. And I'm sure that now Jesus is even more beautiful. If you read the description of him at the end of the, well, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, you find this being who is like us in shape and form. And yet he's transformed into the beauty and the majesty of Almighty God. He will be awesome to look at. He will be beautiful to look at. And at the same time, he is terrifying to look at. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Came as a beautiful baby in that smelly, dingy stable 2,000 years ago. And that fact we celebrate every year when we wrap our presents. But God sent his Son into the world with a purpose. Not just so that we could gaze upon him in the manger and say, wow, what a beautiful baby. We love to do that, don't we? Yesterday, for the first time, we met Yinka's baby. Beautiful. Abigail, wasn't it? Abigail. And Christine held her and I cooed and she held my hand. Beautiful baby. Lovely to look at. All our babies have been beautiful. The Addison babies are wonderful. The grandchildren are even better. Hallelujah. Both our grandchildren have been gorgeous babies. And you look and you think of the beauty of a new life. But God sent his Son into the world, not so that we could say, ah, another baby has been born. Not so that we could weigh him and coo over him and dress him up and make him look gorgeous. Jesus came into the world with a purpose, not just as a pretty package for us to watch. The Bible tells us in Philippians that Jesus willingly left his glory in heaven. The Bible says that he was equal with God in every respect. The Bible says that through Jesus the worlds were created. That nothing was made without him. And he was equal with God. And yet the writer of Philippians tells us that he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held onto, but willingly gave it up and became a man. Took upon himself the form of a servant, was born as a baby, and came to serve the purposes of his Father. Whenever Jesus was questioned, whenever Jesus was asked, why do you do what you do? His constant phrase was, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. I do what the Father tells me to do. How many times through the Gospels do you hear those phrases, I've come to do the will of him who sent me? He came for a purpose. And he knew what his purpose was. When he was just 12 years old, as his parents took him to the temple And he sat with the chief priests and the scribes, and he argued scripture with them. At 12 years old, he already knew that he was about his father's business. And he wasn't talking about Joseph and the carpenter's bench. He knew whose business he was about. This was a boy like no other. But he also knew that he was a boy who was destined to die. And this passage in John's gospel here is Jesus trying to prepare the disciples for his own death. He's talking to the disciples and telling them, this is what's going to happen to me. When it happens, don't be surprised. This is the will of God for me. This isn't an accident. This isn't a tragedy. This is not a catastrophe. This is what was planned before the world was ever made. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever even formed, Jesus had already been crucified in the plan and purposes of God. Jesus was born with a purpose, and that purpose was to die. Now here in John chapter 12, he's talking to his disciples and telling them what's going to happen. He's telling them that he's like a seed that must fall into the ground and die. And if it does, it won't remain just one seed. It will produce many seeds. A harvest of fruit will come out of this one seed. As long as he remained alive, he was very, very limited, wasn't he, to what he could do. He never set foot, as far as we know, outside of Israel and Samaria. He never went anywhere outside of that narrow strip of land that we call Israel. He spent most of his time around Galilee, in that area. He came to Jerusalem in order to die. While he was here, he was one seed with a few followers gathered around him. But when he gave himself up to death, in Philippians, the Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. The worst, nastiest, most painful, shameful death that anyone can die, execution by crucifixion. Even the death of a cross. 3.5 years earlier, John the Baptist had seen Jesus walking towards him. And having told the people to expect another, he points the finger at Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. Even then, the plan of God was clear that Jesus would be the lamb. Jesus would be the sacrifice. Jesus would be the one who would be ripped and would be torn for our sin, for the things that we've done wrong. Jesus would be the one who would take the punishment in our place. The things that we deserve, he took upon himself on the cross. The Bible says that the iniquity of us all was laid on him. Jesus took our sin to Calvary with him, and he left it there, nailed to the tree, the Bible says. He left it there. Jesus didn't stay there, did he? After, I think it was 6 hours, they came and they found that he was already dead, which was a surprise. People could last for days hanging from those crosses. Jesus was already dead. And so, having pierced his side with the spear, Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and says, "I want his body." Brave man was Joseph. Brave man. Pilate granted that Joseph could have the body of Jesus, so he took him down from the cross and he laid him in the grave. Jesus' body left the cross. Your sin and mine stayed there Hallelujah. Figuratively, spiritually, in the eyes of God, our sin stayed on the cross. Jesus was laid in the tomb. Praise the Lord, he didn't stay in the tomb. After the third day, in go the disciples. They've heard this story, this rumor, that something's happened down at the grave. The stone's been rolled away, the body's gone. They go in, Peter runs in. What does he see? He sees the grave clothes laid out in the shape of a body, but there's no body there anymore. And he sees the headband that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, folded up neatly and left there. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus had come out of those grave clothes, unwrapped his own headband, folded it neatly and left it there for his disciples to find. As a sign to them, I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive. And as Mary's walking through the garden, she meets who she thinks is the gardener. And she looks up at him and she says, tell me where you've taken his body. And he says, Mary. And just that one word from the lips of Jesus was enough to convince her that she was alive. You see, Jesus' body was torn. Jesus' body was ripped. That beautiful baby, that lovely young man, that perfect human being, was ripped and torn and lacerated and almost destroyed. The Bible says that he was marred so badly you could hardly tell that he was a man anymore. But now he's the most beautiful thing in the universe, sat at the side of his Father in heaven, waiting for you and I, waiting for the church, waiting for the day when God sends him back to gather in his jewels and present us all before the Heavenly Father. Amen. What a lesson from wrapping paper. Amen. What a lesson from wrapping paper. Something to think about, isn't it? Next time we get that lovely, shiny present, might be a birthday, might be an anniversary, might be next Christmas, and we receive a beautiful parcel wrapped up with loving care, it reminds us of the fact that God sent his best. God sent his own son into the world in a beautiful way, in a lovely way. There's nothing nicer than a new baby. But that new baby was ripped and torn and left dying on that cross for you and me in the plan and purpose of God. And now he's the most beautiful, gorgeous thing in the universe. And the Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him. What a future, what a hope for all those who love and trust the Lord Jesus. When we see him, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. I'm sure that that man, James Baxter, has no idea that he's been used in a Christmas message. And I'm sure that he'll go on producing wrapping paper for the Christmas infinitum, because it's something that we all use and we all throw away. But next time we see a sheet of wrapping paper, next time we receive a present, next time somebody blesses us with something, think about the Son of God who came as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The lesson of the wrapping paper.